let's be real for a minute. The road to getting healthy isn't always a smooth path. There are bound to be bumps along the way, and every new challenge can sometimes make it feel like the deck is stacked against us. But what if I told you that your biggest challenge when it comes to changing your life in any significant way isn't actually all those outside factors, but something much more internal? Specifically, what's going on inside your own head? Because the truth is that the biggest danger most of us face on the road to getting healthy is ourselves. And that's why in today's episode, we're taking a deep dive into self-sabotage, what it looks like, and more importantly, how to avoid it. Welcome to the Ditch the Carbs podcast, brought to you by Thinlicious. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and here we'll talk about everything from the science of weight loss and metabolic flexibility to practical tips for making your health a priority in the midst of a very busy life. It's the perfect blend of insightful education, practical application, and good old-fashioned motivation. So buckle up, friend, because it's about to get real. Hey there, and welcome back to the Ditch the Carbs podcast. Once again, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I am the founder of Thinlicious and the Thin Adapted System, as well as the New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. And if you are brand new to this podcast, you should also know that I am a 40-something-year-old woman who knows really well what it's like to struggle with your weight and with eating well and getting healthy. So if this is your first time, then I'm just going to tell you, at some point you may want to go back and listen to one of our very first episodes. It's called The Simple Changes I Made to Lose 40 Pounds and Actually Keep It Off, because that will just give you a really good overview of who I am, where I've been, and how I got to here, just in case you're curious. But today I want to talk about a topic that comes up so much for so many of us, whether you're just getting started on your journey to get healthy or whether you've been doing this for a while and you feel like you're going along pretty good, but that is the topic of self-sabotage. Specifically, all the ways that we tend to derail our own progress by not dealing with the stuff that's happening inside our head. Because at the end of the day, so much of our ultimate success in any endeavor in life, but especially in this journey to lose weight and take control of our health, it often comes down to our mental fortitude and our willingness to believe, to actually believe that change is truly possible. But sometimes old habits die hard, right? And there are often ways that we start to undermine our progress without even realizing it. And that's what self-sabotage is. And so that's what we're going to dive into today, all the ways that we tend to self-sabotage and what that really looks like. And more importantly, some of the super practical steps that we can take to avoid self-sabotage in our journey to better health. But before we dive into all of that, I do want to quickly tell you about one super quick thing. It's that if you are brand new to the Ditch the Carbs podcast and really to Thinlicious in general, I have a great little gift for you. It is a free starter guide. It's called Flip the Switch. And it's just an awesome introduction to our approach to health and weight loss here at Thinlicious. I explain more about the science behind our program and kind of all the things. And it's totally free. So to download it, all you need to do is go to thinlicious.com/guide. Once again, that URL is thinlicious.com/guide. You can download it. You can get it. It's awesome. So go and grab that. Okay. So with that out of the way, let's talk about our topic of the day, self-sabotage and how to avoid it. So first things first, what exactly is self-sabotage and what does that look like? Because honestly, I think self-sabotage probably looks a little bit different for everyone. And so, and this is the funny thing, right? It's kind of easy to recognize self-sabotaging behavior in other people. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you can see it when other people are self-sabotaging. And sometimes if they're your friends or you're the kind of person who likes to speak up, you might even call them out about about it. But it's not always so easy to see it in ourselves. After all, we're usually the last people to realize how much we're actually holding ourselves back. And that can actually be a really scary thing. But for most of us, it's self-sabotage is those habits and behaviors that we do or don't do without even realizing it that eventually lead to us kind of undoing all the good progress that we've made. So, you know, as I was really thinking about how to talk about this topic and how to introduce this topic in a way that resonates, I thought it might be helpful to go through maybe even just some of the most common types of self-sabotage that I've seen or some things that I've even been guilty of in my own life. And hopefully maybe some of these will sound very familiar. So first up is negative self-talk, right? Basically all of that negative self-talk that's happening inside our head. This is that little voice in the back of our brain that tells us that we can't do something or that we're not good enough or that it's impossible to stick with this for any length of time, that this is never going to be a long-term thing or whatever, right? Whatever that little voice is saying inside your head right now. And the truth is that this type of negative self-talk can be just as damaging, if not more damaging to our progress as really anything else. In fact, often this little voice will start taking over and derailing us kind of when we least expect it, especially when maybe our guard is down or we have a little setback. But even sometimes when things are going great and we think we have everything under control and we're doing well. And so that negative self-talk is a big one. A second type of self-sabotage that I see a lot, and raise your hand if this is you, it's procrastination, like flat out avoidance, right? This looks like not getting started on something or putting it off for another day or coming up with any number of reasons why we're not really ready. And, you know, honestly, like sometimes it can be understandable that you need a little bit more time or a little bit more information or a better plan in place. But at the end of the day, if we're constantly making excuses for why we can't start something, then it becomes pretty clear that it's actually our own inaction that's really holding us back. So procrastination is a big one. A third type of self-sabotage is comparison. And I mean, I'm sure we all know what comparison is, right? This is where we compare our own progress or our lack of progress to someone else around us and then start to beat ourselves up for not measuring up. And I honestly, as much as I love having a community, and I think that the positives of a community far outweigh this side of it, it can be hard when you see other people seeming to have more success. And honestly, this type of self-sabotage can be especially damaging because it's so easy to do, but also so detrimental to our progress. Because when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we're never actually comparing like with like, right? It's not apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So in the end, we end up comparing our worst moments to someone else's best moments. And that's not fair. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to us. So comparison, definitely a big one. Yet another big type of self-sabotage that I want to talk about is the fear of failure. So a lot of times this is where we let our fear of not believing that we can achieve something stop us from even trying in the first place. And this kind of fear is very understandable, right? Who wants to have to put the effort in and then fail, right? It can be scary. But when this becomes a thing that keeps you from actually getting started, then it's definitely something that you need to address and to identify in yourself. But closely related to that is what I call the fear of success. And this is where we might actually start to see some real progress, but suddenly become afraid of actually achieving something because all of a sudden we see that little bit of a success and we go, oh, this might mean that my life is about to change or my circumstances are going to change in some way. And that can actually be even scarier than the fear of failure. So we start to subconsciously undermine our progress in order to ensure that we don't actually reach our goals. But you guys, there's more. You knew there had to be. Another type of self-sabotage that I see a lot is something that I call all or nothing thinking. And this is when you sort of decide that if you can't do something perfectly, then there's really no point in trying at all. And so this is where people will say things like, if I can't do it 100%, if I can't count my macros perfectly, or if I can't have the best possible workout or do the exact right things, or, you know, whatever, then there's no point in doing it at all. And that kind of thinking will literally stop you dead in your tracks every single time, the all or nothing thinking. And then there are those sort of excuses, right? The I deserve it excuses, where you start to tell yourself that, oh, you know, just this one thing, I work so hard, or, you know, I don't need to work out because I've already done so much today, right? That excuse making is usually the result of fatigue or overwhelm. And while it's totally understandable that sometimes we do need to give ourselves a break and give ourselves grace, it's also important to remember that those excuses can become a habit, right? If we're not checking ourselves and going, am I just making an excuse? Is this legitimate? And so while I'm sure there are probably way more than just those, I feel like those are some of the most common underlying types of self-sabotage that I have seen both in my own life and for our Thinlicious customers. But how those tend to manifest in our own lives can be very different. So let's spend a minute talking about some of the like signs and symptoms of self-sabotage so that you can have a better idea of what to look out for in your life. So I think what I would say is maybe the first sign or symptom to watch out for is this feeling of feeling stuck, right? This feeling like you're not making any progress, even though you're putting in the work. And that can happen in any endeavor in life, but it can definitely happen when you're on sort of this long health journey and it feels like things aren't happening fast enough. And that's usually a sign that something is a little bit off or that you might be in danger of self-sabotaging, right? There's that's where like the red flag is going up and you got to go, okay, wait, I need to look at this. Because that's also when that little voice of self-doubt can start to creep in. And that little voice is what gets us into trouble. Another symptom that you want to watch out for is constantly shifting goals, right? When you're constantly looking ahead towards the next thing, but your goalposts keep changing and moving further and further away, even though you're actually moving forward and making progress. And this happens when you're only looking forward. You're only ever looking at how far you have to go. And it feels like it's like that mirage in front of you in the road that keeps moving and you never get any closer because you keep moving the goalposts. And because you're never looking back, you're not celebrating your wins and you're not recognizing how far you come. So that's definitely a sign that self-sabotage might be imminently on the horizon. Another big sign to watch out for is when you see yourself avoiding or procrastinating on things, especially things that you know are important, even like the little things, right? Planning your meals or going to the grocery store so that you know that you have the right foods on hand. And that's where like that fear of failure, that fear of success could be keeping you from doing some of those basic tasks that you know you need to do to continue to be successful, and you're just avoiding them, then that should be a big red flag to you. And then it could also be things like allowing yourself to just slip into old patterns or old habits. So if you start noticing that when things get hard or they feel hard or you don't have the right support in place or you had a bad day or something shifts in your life or you're feeling emotional and suddenly you find yourself reverting back to those old behaviors like emotional eating or skipping workouts, that's a sign of self-sabotage that probably needs to be addressed. And then another sign, finally, is this just constantly beating yourself up for mistakes and failures. Because the reality is that we're all going to have moments of weakness. But that moment of weakness, a momentary slip in and of itself, is not necessarily self-sabotage, right? That's being human. The self-sabotage happens when you use that momentary slip up or that moment of weakness to become a reason to beat yourself up and a reason to just kind of spiral downward or a reason to quit. So those are some of the signs to watch out for. But then, of course, once you kind of know what you should be looking out for, what you should be aware of, the question becomes, what do you do when you start to recognize those signs in yourself? And I think, honestly, the first step really is just what I just said, right? It's self-awareness. It is simply to start paying attention, to tune in to yourself and to where you're at and tune into your thoughts. And because you have to acknowledge that we all have this tendency, right? And if you're aware of this tendency to self-sabotage without really realizing it, then you can also be prepared to identify potentially self-destructive behavior before it actually starts to derail you. That said, I think there are also a lot of like really practical strategies that you can put in place to make sure that you are keeping yourself on track and that you're avoiding stepping into some of these mindset traps. It's almost like you have to sort of train your brain to let success be the habit rather than let failure become the habit, right? A lot of us have experienced failing, especially in our health and weight loss journey. Maybe you've tried dieting so many different times, and that is kind of your frame of reference. And so you have to start training your brain to think about success and to believe that success is possible. So let's talk about some of the practical, like super, super practical things that you can do. Well, the first thing, like my first strategy for avoiding self-sabotage is to start by setting realistic goals and milestones for yourself. Because honestly, there is nothing more demotivating than setting goals that feel completely unattainable. And let me say more about this, because I think it's important to recognize that this is coming, this advice right now, me speaking to you, it's coming from someone who, as you may know, is actually a huge believer in setting big goals. If you've listened to my Do It Scared podcast, or you've read any of my books, or you've used my Living Well Planner, you probably know that I talk about big goals all the time, like over and over and over again. In fact, there are few things I love more than a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? A BHAG or something to shoot for far in the future. I love big goals. I think big goals that really scare you, big goals that feel like a little bit out of reach, can be awesome motivators, right? They can be kind of this big thing that give you purpose and direction. But I also feel very strongly that big goals can be a problem if you don't have a way of breaking down those bigger goals into manageable bites and more realistic milestones. Because otherwise, those big goals just become this sort of looming thing that feels so large and unattainable and overwhelming and out of reach that you're never going to actually get there. And that's the opposite of motivating, right? That's demotivating. And when it comes to your health, and especially to losing weight, there are times, like, let's just be real about this. There are times where your body is going to do what it is going to do. You can't really rush the process. And that doesn't mean that something's not happening, right? There's a lot of internal healing that has to happen for most of us, especially if you're dealing with gut health issues, if you're dealing with insulin resistance, all of these things. Because the truth is that you didn't become healthy and overweight overnight, right? You didn't just wake up one morning and you're like, what the heck happened? I'm 50 pounds overweight and I've got all this inflammation and I've got insulin resistance. No, no, no. That's not what happened. All of that, getting to where you are right now, took years and years and years of effort and abuse to your body. And so that means that reversing all of that damage is going to take a while too. And it's going to happen on a timeline that you cannot necessarily control. And honestly, that can feel so frustrating. Believe me, I know. I have been there. I have been frustrated. I have experienced that frustration. I am an instant gratification kind of person, especially when I'm working hard towards something. I want to see the results. And so when you feel like you are working so hard and you're doing all the right things and then things aren't happening as fast as you want them to, that can start to like be where that temptation to quit comes in, right? That temptation to self-sabotage comes in. Because whether we realize it or not, we often have this expectation that the weight's just going to start melting off and I'm just going to start feeling better and I'm going to have all this energy the minute that I start focusing on it. And as I've mentioned before on this podcast, sometimes I think even that like initial fast water weight that we have, that first like 10 pounds that comes off really fast because it's basically water weight, it can set us up for this future disappointment when the actual fat is coming off more slowly. And so that's also why I think, coming back to self-sabotage, that's why I think it's really important to set some realistic expectations and milestones for your health journey. It's fine to set a big goal of losing 100 pounds, right? It's great to set that kind of big goal far into the future, but you also have to mentally prepare yourself from the get-go that losing 100 pounds in a healthy, sustainable way could take a long time. It might take a year or more, and that's actually okay because it's giving your bones and your muscles and your skin a chance to adjust to your new size. So don't worry too much if it's happening slower. Just in the meantime, set smaller goals and smaller milestones that feel more attainable. Focus first on losing that first 20 pounds and then focus on the first 50 pounds and so on, right? Focus on other goals too, non-scale goals like being able to walk up a flight of stairs without getting totally winded, or doing, you know, daily goals like tracking your macros for 30 days in a row, or even things like being able to tighten a notch in your belt or going down a dress size. So that is the first strategy, to make sure that you are setting some realistic goals and milestones that actually feel attainable, even if you have a bigger long-term goal. I told you I was going to be practical. The next strategy, my next strategy for avoiding self-sabotage, is to actually track your progress, but to do this in a number of different ways. Because I say this all the time, right? You can only improve what you actually measure. But not just that, tracking your progress in at least a few different ways helps you to actually see in a very real way that real progress is happening beyond just the number on the scale. Because I think that's really important, right? If you're only looking at that number on the scale, then it might feel frustrating. It might feel like, wait, what's going on? So what are some of the things that you could actually be tracking besides just your weight? Well, there's lots of things, honestly. There's so many things. I can't mention them all here. But one thing I do always recommend, even though I know so many people try to avoid it, is to take regular photos along the way. And guys, these are not photos that you ever have to share with anyone. These are photos for yourself. But it really is like so amazing and so gratifying to be able to actually compare side-by-side photos from different points in your journey. And I know you're like, yeah, right, Ruth, I am not taking a picture of myself right now, right? Like that's what I hear all the time. And I know if you're just getting started, it doesn't seem like it right now, but I know that at some point you will want to be able to see the difference. We have clients who have lost 50, 70, 100 pounds, and they're like, I didn't take a before picture and I wish I would have because now I want to see it, right? So do your future healthy self a favor and just take the darn photo. Take it, hide it, put it in a folder where nobody else will see it, but have it for yourself. And so that's one thing. Definitely take some photos along the way. Another helpful thing to track is just kind of your basic measurements, right? Your waist, your hips, your bust, even your arms and legs can be helpful. Obviously, this is not something that you'll want to do daily, but once a month or even once every couple of months is a good way to see progress that's not always visible on a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis, it's really hard to see significant changes, right? They happen slowly. But over time, over the course of 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, right, you'll start to see those numbers shift a lot. And that can be really motivating. I'll even say this, at my gym, I work out with a trainer a few days a week, Mark Bafano. He's actually our fitness advisor for Thinlicious. And one of the perks of working out with a trainer is that, at least at my gym, I don't know if this is every gym, but at my gym, I get to do regular full body scans, like basically as often as I like. And I will say this, that being able to measure my progress in that way And now, because I've been working out with Mark for almost 4 years now, right? 3 days a week for almost 4 years. And so we've been doing scans all along the way. And so being able to see that now, several years into my health journey, and being able to compare side by side where I was back when I first started and a few years ago in terms of measurements and even body fat percentage, it is so cool. Like, it is really motivating. It makes me want to continue. And it also makes me realize how much I never want to go back to that. That it's happened like slowly, 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 right? Over time. But when you compare that first scan to where I'm at right now, man, what a difference. It is very dramatic. But another great thing to be tracking is really, I would say, like more of an internal thing, right? Almost like a journaling of how you actually feel. And just find a way, like get a notebook and keep track of how you feel when you start and how you feel kind of at different mile points along the way. Where are you experiencing pain? What hurts? What feels hard? What's your energy like? What's your mood like, right? All these things. What are the things that you don't like about where you are at right now? And then as you go, start to ask yourself, what are you able to do now that you weren't able to do a month ago or 3 months ago? Because sometimes when these changes happen slowly, you're not always actually aware of what's happening, right, in the day-to-day. Because human nature tends to be completely focused on exactly how we feel right now. And this is something I notice with my kids all the time, right? When they feel bad, they think they're never going to feel good again. And when they feel good, they think they're never going to feel bad again. They're just so in that moment at any given time. But we all are a little bit like that, right? You forget how bad you felt kind of when you first started, and you might not always remember. So write it down, like keep track of kind of where you're at and keep track of how you're feeling along the way, because you might just be amazed to go back and look at that and see kind of how far you've come. And then of course, there's your blood work and your medical numbers, things like blood pressure and cholesterol and blood glucose numbers. And in our TAS program, I will say this, we definitely recommend getting some blood work done as you're getting started and then having that checked every few months or so just to kind of see where you're at. Because, and I will say this too, it is amazing to see those numbers start to improve and realize in your heart of hearts that this really isn't about weight loss. It's about transforming your health. It's about changing your future and about not dooming yourself to a lifetime of medication and feeling sick and tired all the time. I say that all the time in our program. You start because you want to fit into your skinny jeans, but you stick with it because you just feel so much better. Because all of a sudden you start to realize, like, man, there's no other way to live because this is really living. So those are just some things that you can keep track of. Give yourself, but really give yourself a way of measuring all of your victories, not just the ones on the scale. And along those lines, the third thing that I do recommend, just in a practical sense to help avoid self-sabotage, is to find ways, like concrete ways of rewarding yourself along the way. Rewarding yourself for those small milestones, those small victories, not just the big ones. I think we can be so quick to get discouraged when we don't feel like things are happening fast enough. But the reality is that every victory should be celebrated in a big way, because transforming your health is a big deal. It is a huge deal. It is the most important thing that you will ever do. So make a list of things that you want, right? Make a list of ways that you can actually reward yourself. And obviously, these rewards should ideally not be food related, since that in and of itself could be a form of self-sabotage. But maybe it's a new purse. Maybe it's a new pair of shoes. Maybe it's a massage. Maybe it's getting some Botox, right? Maybe it's new perfume or new makeup or a new hairstyle or a way of just, you know, looking and feeling your best. But as those pounds start to come off, and especially this, I want to say this, as your clothes start to get too big, guys, buy new clothes, okay? Don't cling to clothes that are too big and start walking around looking like a drowned rat. You don't have to spend a fortune. Go to the thrift store, go to a nice consignment shop, but have at least a few outfits in your new size that make you feel great and stylish and beautiful. Maybe wear things that you wouldn't have worn when you were a bigger size. And then reward yourself by getting rid of the old sizes that don't fit. Do not hang on to them. And you might even need to do this a few times, right? You might have like a series of shopping trips if you have a lot of weight to lose, right? You might go down a size and you buy some new clothes and then you go down another size and now you need some new clothes. That is okay. Don't worry about that. I promise you that the money you are saving in terms of transforming your health for the long term is going to be way more significant than what you are spending on a few new outfits. And the reason that I say this is that you have no idea what this will do for your mindset when you start to actually believe that there's no reason you'll ever need to go back to those old sizes. When you are still holding on to the clothes, you are holding on to this idea that you might fail. So go all in, right? Like, let that be a symbolic gesture for yourself because it will be amazing for your mindset. So reward yourself along the way and do it regularly. Get rid of the old clothes. All of that, super important. That said, it is also very important to remind yourself over and over and over and over again that consistency is the thing that will get you to where you want to go. And that consistency is so much more important than perfection. And I know I got a lot of perfectionists out there, but you're not always going to be perfect. Sometimes you will just have to make the best possible choice in a shitty situation, right? Sometimes your macros will be off. Sometimes you're going to fall off the wagon. Sometimes you're going to eat that cookie or have that slice of pizza. And that's where you'll be tempted to beat yourself up or use it as an excuse to just go completely off the rails. But you have to keep reminding yourself that you are in this for the long haul. Because I say this all the time. It's my favorite thing to say. But big goals never happen all at once, guys. They are only the result of small steps taken consistently over time. Always, always, always. So recommit to yourself every single morning that today I will make the next best choice, right? That's all you got to do. That today I will keep going because over time, those small choices are what is going to add up to a huge change. And sometimes I will say this too, it can even be helpful to put up literally visual cues to remind yourself of that. You can put a sign on your fridge that says, make the next best choice, or put a screensaver on your phone with my favorite quote, big goals never happen all at once. They are only the result of small steps taken consistently over time, right? Make that the voice in your head. Make that the thing that you see over and over and over again. The one that's reminding you that consistency matters more than perfection. And of course, what that really comes down to is my next thing, which is just actively working on your mindset. Always, 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 always. Because in the end, it always comes down to mindset and your ability to change your thoughts and let go of those negative thought patterns. And honestly, I think so strongly that this is something we all need to constantly be working on because life is hard. There are moments where things just suck and we feel beaten down and we feel exhausted and we feel discouraged and we feel just like, oh, what is the point? Right? But improving your mindset is like building a muscle. It is something you have to flex and that you have to exercise and that you have to work on. So for me, that usually means like filling my head with inspirational podcasts and audiobooks because I love to listen to while I'm doing other things like walking my dogs or I'm driving. I'm always listening to audiobooks or podcasts, just kind of constantly trying to like grow my mind and grow my mindset and improve my mindset. And if you need some recommendations, then I'm going to put in like just a shameless plug here and tell you that I would definitely start with my own book, Do It Scared. And then, of course, there's also my Do It Scared podcast. So that's going to give you lots of listening right there. But some other books that have really inspired me along the way are Believe It by Jamie Kern Lima. I listened to that one 3 times in a row. I just loved it so much. It's a little bit business focused, I will say. It talks about she's the founder of It Cosmetics, which she sold for $1 billion. But it really is like a personal story and just talks about how she had this dream and so many obstacles that came in the way of it, but she kept going. And it's really, really inspiring. Another one I really love is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And that might not on the surface seem like a super mindset oriented book, but it really is, at least for me, because what that I think has helped me with is this realization, because I tend to be one of those like all or nothing people. Maybe you are too, but just the power of adding a little bit at a time and giving yourself the freedom to stack habits on top of each other and to not feel like you have to change everything all at once. That if you can do make small changes, that over time, that will add up to a lot. So I really like that one. Atomic Habits, super popular. Another great one is The Alter Ego Effect by my friend Todd Herman, who is awesome and brilliant. I actually did a podcast episode with him on the Do It Scared podcast. We talked for like 2 hours. I think it has the record for the longest podcast episode, but he really talks about almost like in like overcoming imposter syndrome and when you don't feel like you're good enough in a situation and sort of taking on the power of taking on sort of an alter ego. And I think that applied to, you know, your health journey, there's so many ways that you could apply that and kind of take on a special persona just for this person that's improving your health. So I really like that one. Another favorite one that's definitely you want to listen to if you like audiobooks is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. He was ex-Navy SEAL, so it's very exciting. It's very exciting. But it's about leadership, and it's about but I like it even if you don't consider yourself a leader, because it talks about just the power of taking total ownership over your own life. And then finally, another favorite of mine is called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, which is really about embracing the hardships that come along, and just a really good inspirational book. So that's a whole list for you guys. So that'll keep you very busy, but keep working on your mindset. Fill your head with positive messages so that there's less room for the self-doubt, less room for the negative self-talk. Just like keep it coming, because you'll be amazed at how much that starts to improve you and helps you to avoid all of those little ways that you self-sabotage. Ugh, I know this episode is getting really long, so I will wrap it up here in a minute. But the last thing that I want to mention, just because I think it's so, so important in life in general, but especially when you're trying to make big positive changes in your life, like transforming your health, is to seek out social support. Guys, you gotta find your people. I can't say this strongly enough. You gotta find the people who are going to lift you up and not tear you down. You gotta surround yourself with those encouragers and those motivators and those people that just get it, right? You need those people that just get it. You know, and I think it's kind of cliche at this point to say that we are the sum total of the 5 people we hang out with. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that like a gazillion times. I don't know who said it. I probably should have looked it up. But I take that to mean make sure that there are at least 5 people in your life who are inspiring you and motivating you to keep going, right? That they're the ones that are the voice in your head. And then limit your exposure to those negative people, those negative Nellies who aren't supporting you in your journey, because life is too short for those toxic people. And if you find that your real life circle is full of people who aren't really growth oriented, right? They're stuck in their own ways and they kind of just are pulling you in and wanting you to stay stuck too, then here's tough love time. You might have to move on a little bit and be okay with letting some of those relationships go or just stepping back a little bit. But at the same time, make sure that you are actively seeking out those positive influences in your life. Honestly, I think that is probably one of the biggest things that makes our TAS program so effective. It's just the amazing support of our community and the fact that you can actually hop online and regularly talk to and connect with other like-minded women who are going on a similar journey. And so even though it's an online program, it feels very personal. It is very personal. In fact, we're starting to see members of our community start to connect more and more in real life. They'll actually go and meet up in person. And that's really cool to see, because there's nothing quite like having friends to cheer you on and keep going. So seek out that social support because it really does matter. In the end, you guys, avoiding self-sabotage is all about being intentional with your actions and mindful of your thoughts and about making that next best choice every single day and surrounding yourself with positive influences and improving your mindset so that you can stay strong through those challenging moments. And it's also a choice. It's that choice to keep going no matter what. And if you can do that, then I have no doubt that you will be successful in reaching whatever goals you set for yourself. All right, friends, that was definitely an earful, but that is everything that I have for you today. So I will be back on Thursday with another very inspiring customer story. But in the meantime, I would love to get a conversation going about this topic in our Thinlicious Facebook group. So if you are in there, please share your thoughts. Do you struggle with self-sabotage? If so, what are the ways that you tend to notice it? And also, is there anything that has really helped you stay on track in your own journey to get healthy? What are the books that you're reading? What are the things that you're doing to kind of keep your head in the right place? And then, of course, if this content was helpful to you, please, please be sure to pass it on to anyone in your life who you think you could benefit. Send the link in a text or via email or share it on social. Guys, I do believe in my heart of hearts that helping people to transform their health is the way that we can change the world. And I hope you will join me on that mission. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you like to listen. And then I will see you back here very soon for our next episode. Have a great day.